Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, September 17th, 2018. Boy, we've had some really nice rains here the last 2 weeks. I think about overall maybe 10,000 gallons in the bank. That was pretty cool. 10,000 gallons of water. So we'll just keep talking to the rain angels. Say, come on now, come on down, bring some more. Well, another week here. Here we go. Ken Roll is going to be here in just a few moments. Ken's over. He's in Spain, actually, where the rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain. Do you know that? A fellow all about the autism epidemic thing, a really smart cookie in that regard, will be here tomorrow. Also, Dr. Bert Bergson. We're going to talk about low-dose naltrexone tomorrow. And that's some curious stuff indeed. And some more LDN stuff on Thursday. This stuff's pretty interesting. There's really quite a buzz about it around the world. And we're going to keep learning about it, and maybe it might be something that can help you, even though it's a pharma karma. And then rapid recovery and pharma karma. I like that. Rapid recovery from pain, also on Thursday. But another lady on the LDN, pharma karma. And there's a lady that listens to our show pretty regularly, Denise in Dallas. Has had MS symptoms for about 20 years. Been trying to just do all kinds of things. She's very active, trying to get well and break out of this place. She's in a kind of a nursing home rehabilitation place, which is no fun. And she said 2 days on low-dose naltrexone changed her life. So I haven't heard more from her except that email, which is, you know. So we're hearing some pretty wild stories about this thing, and so we're just going to learn more about it, because maybe there's something there to help you, maybe not, but you know, who knows. Okay, so here we are with Ken Rolla. Ken is a cool guy, and if you'd like to be on the show with Ken, he's a health educator. His website is freshandalive.com, and we promote Ken's products, the Water Vitalizer Plus and the Golden Pyramid, the cool thing, and some of his other things like the Scalar Salt, through One Radio Network to our website. And Ken is traveling, and Ken is in Barcelona, Spain.
Sí, amigo.
Sí, amigo. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien.
Muy bien. Gracias. Wow, what are you doing in Spain, Ken Roll?
Well, my wife wanted to come here. I actually was invited to come speak in Toulouse, France this last week. Actually, through the Bosnian Pyramids. I guess it was 2017 when I was visiting the Bosnian Pyramids, that there was a large group of French people, about 75 French people, that came to see the pyramids. And, Samir Osmanagic, the archaeologist who discovered the pyramids, as we were going around looking at everything, I was explaining the physics of how they worked and how they were putting out skater waves and stuff. And he didn't know about that. He knew something about it, but he didn't know all the details. So he asked me to speak to the group, in which I did. And these French folks were just flabbergasted. They didn't know we had all these solutions for all this stuff I talk about. And one of them was an event coordinator that hosts these really large natural health conferences like four times a year in France. So they asked me to come and speak, and I did, and it was absolutely wonderful. Oh. I you know, I've never, when I was in high school and college, I took Spanish and I studied Spanish because I figured, you know, United States is close to Mexico, so probably in Cuba, probably better off learning Spanish. So I learned Spanish, and I never really, so I never learned French, and I never really was terribly interested in going to France. Because, you know, typically what I would hear about going to France is going to Paris. And mm-hmm. yeah, I grew up in the country, and going to big cities like New York and Paris and stuff like that doesn't interest me that much. I don't like fighting crowds and traffic and pollution and everything else, although there's a lot of wonderful things there. And I do love going. I mean, like, I love going to New York, and I'm sure I'd love going to Paris, but it just never really occurred to me. So I finally get pulled to France, and I love it, Patrick. I love it. I love the French people. You know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos before I went of like Americans living in France and describing what it's like and everything. And, you know, we hear in the United States that the French can be rude sometimes, right, particularly right. in Paris, right. you know, in Paris and stuff. So, I can understand that because, you know, a lot of Americans go overseas and they want everything to be like in the United States. And it's just dumb. I don't, you know, when I travel overseas, I don't want to be the ugly American, and I don't want other cultures to bend to my habits. And so I don't have that expectation. But I did expect to at least have a little bit of brusqueness or rudeness, but it was exact opposite. And everywhere I went, just complete strangers who were just extremely friendly oh. and very mm-hmm. kind and just very sweet. You know, I went into a convenience store and bought a SIM card for my phone, couldn't get it working. And the guy in the store helped me get it working over, you know, it took him probably 20 minutes in between a huge rush of people coming in. And
okay, it cut off where you're talking about that you really love the French people. You talked about the SIM card, and then that's kind of pretty much where it cut off. So I'm sorry. Okay. I thought it was your end, well, but it was ours. But it looks like it's back fine now. We just had a little interruption.
Okay. Well, it just made me realize how we have been programmed through the media and through our culture to, you know, of course, fear other cultures and people we don't understand. But also, I really believe that it, you know, we've been propagandized to fear these other cultures to keep us separated and sure, yeah. to not get along. Because I was really surprised how the French people that I met everywhere, from the rental car guy at the airport to the people at the conference, waiters, they really liked Americans. Huh. That really shocked me. Hmm. I didn't think that the French typically would really like Americans because, you know, we're Americans. We go overseas. Well, and we're loud and we're boisterous.
As you say, you know, that meme has been out there for years. You know, the French hate us and all this stuff, and they're stuck up. And I don't know where all that came from, you know.
It's not true.
I know.
It's not true now.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with, well, two things that I was told by a French woman. She said that the French still remember that the United States saved them from the Nazis in World War II. And she mm-hmm. so she said that's very deep in the French psyche. And also, I think because of the internet, the French can see real Americans on, you know, YouTube and things like that, and see how Americans really think and act. And the same with us. You know, I go online. Like I said before this trip, I went online. I watched tons of YouTube videos about France and the French and, you know, how to be a good citizen mm-hmm. and visitor. And so it did help, you know, it did help. Things, little things like, you know, they don't have tipping in restaurants typically. But you can, you know, you can give small tips, but not like a, you know, a large American tip typically. And so little things like that. Or, you know, when you're in a restaurant, when you get done eating, they won't bring the bill to you. You have to go and ask for the bill. And, you know, in our culture, we might think that, oh, that's rude or whatever. But actually, the way they view it is that the French are very convivial. This is one thing I really love about this culture. They loved to socialize and sit and eat and drink good food, and then socialize afterwards. And so it's considered rude in their culture for a waiter to come up and interrupt them. And
now we're losing you.
More, you know, business oriented and respectful of the restaurant. I guess the restaurant. Young people standing around talking to each other, not on their cell phones, not staring into their cell phones, and you don't see people walking around staring into their cell phones or sitting in restaurants staring in their cell phones. You do a little bit, but nothing like the United States. And young people are very sociable. They're very easy to talk to, and you know, they make eye contact. And I found that to just be a really nice, refreshing change. Culture. So, but it surprised me how they really seem to understand that Americans also are not the typical stereotype that has been promoted to them. And I think it's because of the internet. And I don't know if we were cut off when I said this, but I was talking to a lady who was a healer, and she said that. She said that the French still remember that the United States saved them from the Nazis in World War II. So she said that's very deep in their psyche. So everyone I met was just very friendly to Americans and really liked Americans, and it really surprised me pleasantly. So you know, as for this show, I was thinking in terms of this that, you know, we I think as Americans, one of the things that some of the French people said to me is that. They didn't understand Trump. They were like, you know, we don't understand what's going on with Trump, and we don't understand why he's doing what he's doing and saying what he's saying. They also understood about their leaders, and they really understood, you know, that like their leaders are not generally looking out for them, that kind of stuff. But they were saying, you know, well, we don't think badly of Trump. We just don't understand him. And so I said, well, that's probably the way Americans think about it too. You know, most people there are a lot of polarized people maybe that don't like Trump, but there are a lot of people wondering what Trump's doing or going to do. But
well, I guess it'd be
I think
difficult
because
for
of the internet, it's really helping break.
I think it'd be difficult for them to get any real objective. It'd probably be really difficult for them to get any real objective. Viewpoint, you know, we don't even get it here, right, of what's going on
right
politically.
Exactly. And that's why I told them, I said, well, we don't know either.
That's
like,
we hear
rumors, we see the mainstream press, and we know that that's pretty much fake. But then the alternative media, you know, who do you believe? And so it's
starving for vitality. We're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support, improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in 3 strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
Okay, sorry, that is elk velvet antler and pine pollen from Daniel Vitalis and Sir Thrival. Sorry, we've been... our internet here has been frumpy. I emailed them and just called them, and I think they'll be able to get on it. But it's been just kind of Ken stuff is good, but it's on our end, and we've been real solid here for months and months. Just one of those things. We've had a lot of rain, but they're on top of it. So just be patient here. Previously, with Dr. Richard Ulrey and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut, to everything.
there's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria in the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It needs, it's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we bought all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
Ah, that's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on One Living Streams, and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay, looks like they got some more speeds up now. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Sure apologize for the interruption. Can you, as fate would have it, we started having some internet issues, pretty rare here. The upload speed was like just went dissolved to nothing. And when that happens, we can't do it. But I think we're back. I think it looks like, I just tested again. It looks like we got plenty of speed now. We'll see if it holds. Oh, it's always something on planet Earth, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, I went through a lot just to get here and be on this interview because I was originally, I had several different technological solutions and they kind of all fell through. And the last minute, fortunately, I was able to do this up Skype.
Let's see if we can make it through it. If I could be on the show with Ken Rolla, again, I think we look pretty solid now. Let us know how we sound. Patrick, OneRadioNetwork.com. Again, I'm trying to get more volume for you. Some people want more volume, and for some reason, I'm having a hard time doing that without distorting. So I raised the volume level.
I can boost my mic.
No, you have plenty of volume. You have plenty. It's just okay. Something with the setup here. Can't seem to get as much out as I want without distorting. So I got to get an audio geek in here and figure that out. Yeah. This equipment, you know, it's like crazy amazing. Well, you know, it's interesting. As you know, everybody in the world are having their own problems in places like France and even now where you're on Spain. Of course, they've been going through, Spain, of course, have been going through their own little revolutions. And then there's a lot of influx of immigrants too across borders. Yeah. So they're experiencing similar kind of a political stuff too, you know, with the EU and breaking away and all this stuff.
Very true. We were told by the French when we came to France to avoid. Well, they said it was okay if Americans speak Spanish, but they said the people in the Catalonia area really do not want to speak Spanish because they were, you know, trying to break away from Spain. And the French told me it was because this part of Spain, there has a lot of wealth, and that wealth is being spread to other parts of Spain to pay for other projects in poorer parts of the country, and they don't like their tax money being taken away and spent other places. So that was part of the reason, apparently. So we were told to avoid speaking Spanish. But of course, right now we're in a tourist trap. We're in the middle of a tourist trap in Barcelona, and so everybody speaks English.
Yeah, it's curious, isn't it? I think it really harkens down to a deep spiritual truth, Ken Rolla, that everybody just wants to be free, you know, want to be free, just leave me alone, you know.
And boy, that's one thing I love about the French, because they really have that spirit of freedom, and they really have held on to it, I think, better than Americans. Even though GMOs have not been legally banned in France, through activism, the French have kept it out of their food supply.
Oh, yeah.
And so And so you see, this is another reason why they're much healthier in general than Americans, because they don't have GMOs in their food supply. So it's been wonderful going out to eat with these people. You know, first of all, they have a lot of fresh food, locally grown, organic, and non-GMO. And they also do everything in moderation. They don't. You don't see them eating huge meals. After 3 days of speaking, I spoke about 20 hours at this conference.
Really?
And after 3 days, yeah, it was long days.
What? 20 hours? And,
20 hours, because they had to translate. They had a translator, so that basically doubled my speaking time. And they wanted me to teach people how to build pyramids and all kinds of stuff. So they got their money's worth.
That's fair.
But yeah,
man.
They eat in moderation. They don't eat huge portions. I sat down after 3 days of working and not eating much, and I was really hungry. And I also usually when I'm speaking, I do a lot of channeling of energy, and so that energy afterwards I need to ground. And at home, I can go outside and ground on my property. But here, I grounded by eating a big meal. And so they were just flabbergasted, like, wow, look at how much food you're eating. I was like, well, I don't usually eat this much. But they all ate very moderate portions and very good combinations of food generally. Everything in moderation. And they would eat, they'd eat desserts or whatever occasionally, but they weren't, eating a 64-ounce Big Gulp and stuff like that.
Yeah. I spent a little time in Nice and Aix-en-Provence many years ago, and really beautiful, just gorgeous country.
Whew. Yeah. Man. Yeah. One of the guys that had dinner with us last night had driven his motorcycle all the way from the Bosnian pyramids to Nice and then to Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was like an 18-hour drive the way. But, another thing, too, that I see with the French that Americans have really lost, and I think it's a lot due to GMO food, to the energy weapons being used against us, and mind control and other things. The French are really strong activists. They have a very strong activism here. And so they actually joke about how there's always a protest going on or a strike going on somewhere. it's like if somebody doesn't like what's going on, they'll have a strike. The railroad strikers, railroad workers will strike. So that's how they've kept GMOs out of the country, is simply by striking.
Do they have a label thing, GMO, or is it just a kind of a movement?
It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist. I mean, they don't have like a non-GMO label unless it's something I'm not familiar with. Now, they do have, health food stores with organic food. So they do have certified organic food. They probably have non-GMO certified food. But even just out and about, the food is at least non-GMO.
Well, there's much more awareness. I don't know exactly how it lays of the land right now, Ken Rolla. But there's much more awareness, and I know that they do have some kind of GMO labeling, EU-wide. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I remember long ago, we used to ship some things to Europe, and when I had a food company, and man, there were some rules there and some paperwork you had to fill out with organic and stuff. They were very strict, And this was years ago. I mean, this is 20 years ago. So I can so certainly a lot more... not more awareness now. Ken Rolla, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So I wonder, but the people like in Italy, I know they aren't, but in French, are they fat? They fatty people?
No, that's what I'm saying. They eat butter, they eat bread, they eat all this wonderful food, cheese, but no, generally they're not.
What do you suppose that's about? Is it just the good quality fats, I guess, huh? The cheese and...
it's the quality of what they eat. They do eat a lot of raw food. They drink wine with their food very often. Like I said, they don't eat huge portions of stuff. They also eat, I think, more frequently, and they eat generally earlier than Americans. There are, restaurants that stay open late, and they're, fairly full, but I think most French people, at least a lot of French people, they tend to eat earlier. They eat, more frequently, not huge meals. And they also, like I say, there's less stress. They don't work so much like Americans do. They have more time off.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Because, you know, for example, stress will make you crave sugar. Oh, and man. So I just noticed when I was eating out with large groups of people, like 10, 12 people at a time, also out in restaurants just observing other people, and I didn't see many people eating dessert. They just don't. So, yeah, it's quite interesting.
Patrick Timpone, Ken Rolla, OneRadioNetwork.com. Did you find some raw cheeses there?
Yeah. A lot of them? Well, yeah, there were plenty of raw cheeses. No shortage of that. And I did eat some. But there was a lot of raw food in general. It's like every restaurant I went into, they had beautiful big salads. And at the conference, they had a booth that was selling, you know, living food, like all this sprouted food and wraps and things that were wonderful. So it's very easy to eat healthy. It's very easy, raw food. And but I would go, like, the organizer took me to a really nice restaurant with a group of speakers, and we ate in a wonderful place and had a, you know, giant salad. We had a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, a little bit of different cheeses, you know, not a huge amount, just a little bit on each meal.
Yeah. Well, I find that for myself, Ken, that I can do a little piece of a raw cheese just here and there throughout the day, something like just really fun. I have a little hit small, and I do just fine. But if I would eat, you know, a whole thing of that, no, my little tummy wouldn't like it at all.
And raw cheese is actually healthy for you. Cheese has enzymes. Yeah. Right. It's alkalizing to the body. When you pasteurize dairy, it becomes a carcinogen, and it's a strong carcinogen. So that's something that, you know, has pretty much been outlawed in the United States. It's very difficult to get raw cheese and dairy in the United States. It's common here.
Yeah. Well, I go to Whole Foods, and you can just ask the little cheese person, and they usually have a fairly, not big selection, but, you know, you can say, do you have any raw goat's cheese? And they'll show you one or two, or raw cow cheese. Ken, you might have three or four choices or five.
Right. Where you got 30 or 40 here.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just everywhere. So there are a few places that still have them. And God bless Whole Foods for even, you know, continuing up that. We used to have a beautiful place in Indiana. Had some of the best raw goat cheese ever at Whole Foods. And it was just amazing cheese, and I would get it all the time, and I did so good with it. And then all of a sudden, one day, it didn't show up, and I asked him where it was. She said, "Oh, well, they came in in Indiana and made them pasteurize their cheese." So,
right?
Can you imagine that?
That's it. My local health food store sells raw Amish butter and raw Amish milk, and they have to label it, you know, not for human consumption, which is insane. But that's what's happened to the law in our country.
That's interesting. They even let you sell raw butter or milk. Here in Texas, you can't even. You have to go to the farm to get it. They won't even let them sell it at the farmer's market.
Well, they sell it for, well, and it may just be that these people are getting away with it.
They
but
just
they
do it.
they claim that it's for, you know, pets.
Oh, I see.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this is like living in an Iron Curtain country. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, boy, it's crazy. We've had some conversations and about different fish oils and EPA and DHA. And here is an email that came in this morning. And I know you've got some emails in too, so we have some good questions for you. He said, hi there. I'm hoping that Ken might be willing to step in with his opinion on the question of EPA and DHA. Adam Bergstrom and Brian Peskin say that they're terrible for you, virtually everyone else on the planet, including Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Brian Clement says they're crucial for you. What does Ken think about the EPA, DHA needs from say, cod liver oil or fish oil, stuff like that?
Well, I don't use fish oils and animal oils except for raw butter. Because all the ones I've seen were rancid that I've come across.
Yeah, that's
and that's one of the problems you have with all oils, plant oils or you know, animal oils, is that generally because of the time that they're harvested and then
the
sitting around, even if they're
in the heat.
Yeah, even if they're refrigerated, they do tend to go rancid. And the same thing with plant oils. It's difficult to get them.
Real good.
So,
ones, yeah.
Yeah. But personally, though, I've seen I've helped a lot of people heal from neuromuscular disorders like multiple sclerosis and paralysis and things like that. And the raw oils were what brought them back around.
Right. We have a fellow that we promote from Germany, Andreas Wecker, that he does the most pristine oils ever in the lowest temperature you can imagine. No heat. No heat, no friction, no oxidation in Myron glass. And
that's the way to do it.
That's the only oil I would take. I agree with you. I just don't think it's...
Exactly.
Now, even Adam Bergstrom says, and I'm not sure if Peskin says it, but Adam Bergstrom suggests that even if you get really, really good stuff, that a lot of this fish oil will rancidify in your body, which, you know, that's an interesting concept too. I don't know about that, but that's what Adam says, you know. Mm.
Yeah, well, and I haven't seen any scientific testing either way. I just know from working with people and healing people, and there's a difference between healing diets and long-term maintenance diets, for sure. And also, one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is with these oils, particularly animal oils, you know, we've got all this these toxins coming down on our soil and our crops and radioactivity, and these animals that are grazing animals eat this stuff and ingest it, and they concentrate in their tissue.
Yeah.
So it's in their fats if you're using, you know, butter or dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, I still think that they're healthy as long as you don't overdo them and as long as they're raw. But you do have to detox whatever, you know, toxins are coming in with them. But that's true of most foods these days. Even if you're eating a completely vegan diet, you're going to have chemtrail junk, nuclear fallout, all kinds of stuff coming down on your food, unless you're growing in a sealed greenhouse or something. Mm-hmm. So we've got to detox.
Yeah, Andreas has a hemp oil with a high CBD hemp oil that's probably the most powerful stuff I've ever tried. I think you should try it because I know you like the CBD stuff.
I'd love to.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I could drink a whole bottle of this and not have one speck of euphoria from it, you know? Like I did with even the black paste that you were kind enough to send me, you know, that really good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hemp paste.
Yeah.
I could get whacked on that. I mean, but I think it's because they must add some heat to it, because I believe that is what triggers the THC to do something. Is that your understanding? And he uses no heat. Andreas does.
Yes, I think so, because even though the hemp paste is certified by the state of Colorado to have less than 0.3% THC, I found the same thing when I first started taking it. You know, I took a small dose and it was fine. It made me relax and sleep well. Then I took a big dose of it and it made me loopy. I mean, it's like I didn't want to work, you know. And
so, hey, do we have popcorns to watch a movie?
Yeah, it's really, I got the munchies and everything. And I wasn't high, but I just felt like I was spacey.
No, I understand. I got the same thing.
Didn't want to do anything.
I was like a stoner. Yeah.
But after about a week of that, it passed. You know, I lowered the dose and it passed. And now, I mean, I can eat gobs of this stuff and it doesn't bother.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. The heating, they do heat it, and I think that does have an effect. It certainly does when you've got cannabis with THC in it. It's the heating that makes it psychoactive.
Oh, yeah.
If it's raw, it won't.
But isn't that curious that you could have 0.3%, which I think is the legal stuff for all the CBD out there, and still have some loopy effects with just 0.3%?
Yeah, well,
we're just kind and sensitive guys is the problem, Kenroll. That's why.
Well, yeah, I'm sensitive to certain things. I've always been very sensitive to drugs, which, you know, I can't remember the last time I had any drugs, but I know, like, historically when I would take even aspirin, I would feel it coursing through my veins.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of things I'm sensitive to. But then on the other end of the spectrum, I can do like a massive detox and do all these supplements and foods and things that would just crash other people, and I can handle it just fine.
Yeah. Here's another email for you. This one is from LR. Patrick has talked a lot about the saunas. I'm thinking about getting one. But I remember the interview we did with the fellow in Washington, D.C. about detoxing the PTSD fellows from Iraq and Afghanistan with the niacin, and whether I want to know if Ken knows the proper way to do that. I'd have to re-listen to that show. But do you know what he's talking about? using the niacin with the saunas to detox. Have you used niacin to detox?
Many years ago, I just took niacin and sat in the infrared. But I took a big dose of it and I sat in the infrared for a couple of hours.
Whoa!
So you may not, not want to do that.
Did you do the flushing or the non-flushing?
I did the flushing, baby, and I flushed. Yeah, flushed.
Do you have to flush to get the real benefits in the iodine?
No.
Okay.
No. It's like this iodine cleanse I did a few weeks ago. It was like 4 days of intensive,
really
massive amounts of iodine, and man, I was having all kinds of reactions. But I got a lot done in 4 days. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to other people because it was really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just because that's all the time I had. Usually I'll go and take 3 weeks or 6 weeks. I'll literally take like 3 weeks off and do nothing but cleansing, and you know, morning, noon, and night. I'm like, I get up in the morning, I do like a wheatgrass enema, and then I juice, and I'm doing these detox cocktails, and then I eat, and then I do more of that, and you know, and so by the nighttime I'm wiped out.
Wow!
And
you put wheatgrass up your bum?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be trippy, man. Whew.
It is. There's it's really phenomenal. It hits the big vein in the colon
the portal
and goes to the liver.
Yes.
And detoxes the liver. If you do it straight, there's two ways to do wheatgrass up your rear end. One is to do enemas, and you take maybe 1500 cc to 2-quart enema bag and fill it with purified water of some sort. Mm-hmm. I usually use distilled water.
Mm-hmm.
And then if let's say I'm doing 2 quarts, which is what I usually do, I'll put in about 4 to 8 ounces of fresh squeezed wheatgrass juice, squeezed right then and there.
Uh-huh.
And that's like kind of like when you do that, it's kind of like it's like smoking a menthol cigarette with your rear end. It lights you up.
trying to picture that, but go ahead. Yeah.
And but what I do, and this is what I've always had clients do, is you know, do it in a bathtub. I mean, like a lot of people, like Hippocrates Institute, they'll have people doing it out on the floor somewhere, and it's like, man, if you have an accident, it's going to be all over the place. So it's better to do it in a bathtub, and you get the enema bag and you hang it up on a towel rack or something so it's elevated above you. And you know, you do the enema and you get down on your knees and get it in there, and then once it's in, you lay on your back. I take a warm bath with it. It's very pleasant. You know, I lay on my back, I take a warm bath, and I'll lay for 5 or 10 minutes on my back, and I'll massage my abdomen and loosen up the material in my abdomen. And then I'll lay on the left side and massage it for 5 minutes. And I'll lay on the right side and massage it for 5 minutes. And then, you know, after 20 minutes or so, I'll let it out. Usually when people first do this, they can barely hold it in for 2 or 3 minutes.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it takes 5, 6, 7 days before people can really hold it in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that for 3 weeks straight when I'm cleansing.
So, but I've read, and is it true, Ken, that if you just get the coffee, say if you're going to do coffee, and you just get it down at the bottom there. You don't have to get it way high, up high, that this portal vein thing, it works and brings it to the liver, even with just down low?
No, you know, somebody recently turned me up.
Is that not true?
All the raw food, it does go to the portal vein.
Okay.
But in the past, the conventional wisdom was that the caffeine did not affect you. And now it's been discovered that that's not true. It does affect you. So it does excite you, and it stresses you a certain amount. So so now coffee, like, you know, Gabriel Cousins, he's not recommending coffee enemas anymore, and he used to. I never really liked doing coffee enemas because wheatgrass is so much more powerful. And also iodine is, I think, more powerful as well. This monoatomic iodine, Mason iodine,
mm-hmm.
very, very powerful. So, you know, this latest cleanse that I did, I was doing iodine enemas with, you know, a half gallon of water and two dropperfuls of the monoatomic iodine, the scalar energized stuff.
Wow.
And that stuff is different than the regular nascent because I've used both, and I can handle more of the scalar stuff. I think people in general can handle more of the scalar stuff.
Have you tried any
of
the Pedro Casey yet? Did you get some from Phil?
Phil sent me some, and I haven't had a chance to use it because I've been
cool,
you know, traveling and everything. But I most definitely am when I get back and do some, get back to doing my supplements and things.
Yeah,
I had a great conversation.
Isn't
with
he
him.
A nice guy?
Him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. We talked for like 2.5 hours. And,
oh, really?
He sent me some of his stuff, and I sent, yeah, we had a great
conversation. What'd you talk about, you two? He's talking about, so I don't want to get you in on the conversation, listeners. He's talking about Phil Thomas, who is our Edgar Cayce guy, who we've had on the show a bunch. And
yeah.
He probably has studied Edgar Cayce stuff more than anybody on the planet, I think.
Yeah, he did. That's what some of what we talked about, because I hadn't really studied Cayce that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was kind of schooling me on it, and it was very interesting. So now I've got, that's another thing I'm going to do, is go study Casey's readings. But he was, yeah, we saw him about the different forms of iodine and, mm-hmm. and the detox iodine, or what does he call it?
He calls it detoxified or atomidized or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it is. It appears to be monoatomic iodine. But he was, you know, when we were emailing about it, he took issue at first with monoatomic because he thought I was one of these Ormus people that, you know, there's people out there that are into Ormus and they make all kinds of magical claims about it
sure.
that are just unfounded.
Right.
And he thought I was one of them. And so I was like, no, I've met those people.
I'm one of those.
So, yeah. So we had a great conversation, and he schooled me, and I taught him a few things, and then we sent each other some of our products.
Oh, that's great.
So
yeah, he's a cool guy. He has some really nice ozonated castor oil organic that I get from him, and then I rub
mm-hmm.
I rub that all over my stomach and colon, and put a little DMSO in there and go in the sauna.
Yeah.
And boy,
yeah.
You know, oh, I tell you what, man, your little tummy likes that.
It's good stuff. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
I was turned on to using castor oil with iodine a few months ago, and I never really thought about it, but it really brings it deeper into the tissue.
Oh, the iodine does, the iodine itself.
Well, the castor oil brings the iodine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
And the castor oil, this is something that Phil schooled me on, was how castor oil is actually, it's a plant-based oil, and it's the only healing oil that he said that he knows of that. That will actually detox you by itself as well.
Yeah, it does.
You know, mineral oils don't do that.
And Cayce used it a lot. Boy, he used to put people on these castor oil packs all the time. And this was what? This was 75 years ago. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so castor oil by itself will detox you. And I think the castor oil packs he was putting, you know, over the liver and detoxing mm-hmm. the liver and other organs. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wonder about you, though, Ken Roll. I mean, you're just such a wild guy. Here you talk about all these detoxes and stuff like this. I mean, you're out there and you're eating the most pristine diet ever and growing a lot of stuff. Why would you have to detox as much as you do? I mean, you're going to fly away someday and we'll just lose you. You know, there goes Ken.
No,
oh, he's just kind of zooming up there.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because it's true. Like when I don't travel for several months, I can eat whatever and I'm fine. I start traveling, and like even on this trip, I have to be really careful, not about what I eat so much, depending on where I'm at, not so much about what I eat, but just the travel itself.
Yeah.
I can get sick from just the traveling because, of course, you're in a foreign country and you're around foreign bacteria and stuff, but also when you're flying, you're being exposed to high levels of radiation, you know, radioactivity, EMF, and then planes are just soup kitchens for bacteria. Yeah, I mean, they're just horrible. And so we wore masks, which is one of the things I was going to talk about today as travel tips. We can get into that.
Yeah.
Because I was wearing these masks that are certified to remove all the bacteria. They're embedded with silver and charcoal.
Really?
Yeah. And so I had my wife and I were wearing those. And what I found interesting, we wore them the whole time we were on the airplanes. But I took it off for about 2 hours because I got tired of it. I was sleeping and I got tired of it being on my face. And so and my flight was delayed. So we were actually delayed by a day. So we spent more time in airports and stuff than usual. And I started feeling a sore throat coming on. And so I did my protocol, which is, you know, taking silver. Well, I was spraying accelerated silver, which is, you know, monoatomic silver. I was spraying it in my mouth and breathing it in my nose, in my sinuses. I've got a sinus sprayer. And so I was getting it in there, and it helped. But I started getting a sore throat when I got stranded in Istanbul for a day. And so we were put up in a hotel by the airline. Started feeling that sore throat coming on. So I just pulled out the CDS and started doing that. And I'm going to tell you what, man, the next day I was right as rain. But if I didn't have that, you know, I was talking to my wife years ago when we were in college and we went to Hong Kong. And I ate at one of the finest restaurants in Hong Kong. Some wealthy people took us out to this really super fancy, expensive restaurant. And we ate all this stuff. And I got violently ill. And it was horrible. And then I was laying in bed for 4 days, just, you know, vomiting and having a massive fever. Then I had to get on a plane and fly 24 hours back to the States. And it was just torture. Had I known then what I know now, none of that would have happened.
I'll be done.
And so, you know, we can get into that, but...
Can you take, like, we have access to a really high-quality silver. It's a monoatomic, smaller than nano, and he gets, like, 750 parts per million, if you can believe it. It's huge. This guy in Austin, he's crazy. I mean, he's just a cool guy, and he knows what he's doing, too. You know, he's a real engineer. And I wonder, like, in a plane, if I had a spray bottle of that, could I just spray that, like, in my nose and my eyes? I guess in your mouth, you could just kind of spray that. That'd be good.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what I do. Yeah. I have a friend who used to be the head of the educator program at Hippocrates Health Institute, a lady named Catherine Clark. And she was also very close friends with Victoris Kolvinskis, who was the co-founder of Hippocrates.
Yeah.
And she's written a really wonderful book, which we're going to put on our website soon, about traveling and staying healthy. And she's got some fabulous tips in there. And one of them was wearing this mask, this cloth mask with it's got like this breathing port on it, so that, you know how, like, if you're wearing one of those little cheap filter masks from like Home Depot or something, you're breathing in your own breath all the time.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
You know, rapid. Well, this mask doesn't do that because it's got this like one-way valve on it that allows you to breathe out and then breathe in through the filtration of the mask, and it's embedded with silver and charcoal.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it's been proven medically to work, you know, to actually knock out all the bacteria.
Where'd you get that?
So I had one of those. I got it on Amazon.
Huh. Do you know what it's called?
And I can find out in a bit. I'll have to get into
maybe
my
Amazon
account.
Maybe if you send us a link, we'll put it on the show page. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
People might want to have that if they travel, right?
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend it. It fits in a pocket. It's real small.
And you kind of look like a space alien guy anyway, so I'm sure it's a good conversation starter.
Well, you know what? I know I was expecting people to be staring at us and stuff, and nobody blinked an eye.
Nobody batted
an eyelash. It was great. So, yeah, we warmed the whole time. Nobody cared. And then I was spraying the accelerated silver in my mouth with an atomizer, and then I have this atomizer that goes up your nostrils that gets it way up in the sinuses, and it really flushed stuff out. Flushed stuff out.
That's funny. Okay, Patrick Timpone, Ken Rolla, OneRadioNetwork.com. Listen carefully to the show this morning, those of you listening live. Would you just kind of give me a little feedback? I've been getting some people saying they have a hard time hearing me. My voice isn't loud enough. I can get Ken really loud. And I haven't been able to figure out what's going on where I can get my voice louder without it distorting. So I've been kind of boosting that up a little bit. Let me know if you have enough volume on my voice with Ken, and also if you hear any distortion or destruction of the, you know, once I get louder. Like if I get like testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Hello, 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 hello. Is that too loud? Anyway, I just trying to figure out what's going on here, but your feedback could be welcomed. Here's a short clip with Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy. Listen to this.
Everything you eat converts to a fake, F-A-K-E, fake calcium molecule. That's what causes plaque.
Oh, so that's what causes the calcium getting up in your arteries.
That's why we have plaque all over our body. That's exactly why.
So if we don't have the proper probes in our small intestines and large,
right,
it produces a fake, which is a form of calcium that goes in the wrong spot,
and we can't absorb it. It's unabsorbable.
Right, but that's how it ends up in the arteries.
Exactly. Body pulls that up as an amino acid, but it's a calcium. It's fake. In other words, everything you eat converts to a fake calcium molecule. When I finished this research, I was dead serious about it. I'm dead serious about this. I could not understand why Americans were alive.
Oh, you mean after seeing the way this works? And the way,
right, how it works. Why a male at 25 years old has enough plaque in their body to have a heart attack.
Wow. And as you know, a lot of the calcium ends up in the brain as well. So these probies are very important, according to research, and Wayne's done a lot of it. Is this one of the major keys to calcification? It appears so. We'll see. Living probiotics, many to choose from in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. These are really fun. We love the way that Wayne has developed these over the years. They're human DNA guys type, real special ones that he's found in different places around the world. Kind of like a Da Vinci Code thing. And then the whole plethora in his suite of products, about 14, where he's using the probiotics, the bifidos and all the different things, and all, you know, the various different probiotics, as I say. And then he's putting some unique nutrients in there to deliver a particular thing that's really good for you, like the turmeric with the curcumin for the yttrium, which is essential to help the body to absorb nutrients. And we have some yttrium in our soils, but he gets the turmeric from India, where they have a lot of yttrium. But you need the probies to make the yttrium thing work. So you could just beat a big bowl of yttrium, or it's not going to work. And he's got the probies in the actual bifido product. This kind of stuff. He's got liquid zeolite, which has got the zeolite, and then it's with probiotics, which is going to help you to detoxify things. Moringa is an amazing plant. Just Google moringa. He's got a moringa product. He also has an alfalfa product, and some of the nutrients and all the different things in alfalfa. It's like, whoa, can't believe who would eat alfalfa without this? So these are very interesting products. They are through our website, Living Streams, Living Streams. And it's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. If you would like to talk to Marilyn about these products, as she works with the company, it is 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981. She works with Wayne. Her name is Marilyn. She can answer a lot of different questions that we can't put on the website or his website because, well, you know how the FDNA, they have to be real careful about what he says. Just be real careful about what he says. And so that's what we do. And then just order through our website, if you will. Don't do order over the phone because they have a hard time, giving us credit for it. So just order through our website and it'll work. Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum. So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them?
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's my protocol. Now I'm using the closest sodium chlorine dioxide and the Pearlseum, and really has nice benefits for the teeth. Look nice and pearly. You don't have that real white kind of Hollywood, you know, when the, you know, a lot of these folks do the bleaching, and we just don't recommend. That's really hard on the teeth. You don't want to do that. Not good. Dr. Nunley talks about that, and not good. A lot of people are doing that, but they look kind of white, which you think, well, that looks great. But no, what you want is like a pearl. You want this natural light to, because the way the teeth really shine and have this pearly whites, which is where the, you know, comes from, is from pearl. Well, it's from a bone. Like pearl increases the bone and actually makes the teeth harder. And when the tooth is harder, it's when the light comes in, and then that's where the your teeth look really nice. It's the light. It's not the tooth itself. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not about making your teeth whiter. That's a optical collusion, and you don't want to do that. It's always about light. So it's a light coming in, and then you can rock and roll. Last time we talked with Brian Clement, we want to get Brian back on the show because he's really cool. And maybe Ken has an email from him. I tried to reach him anyway. He said that he does a sauna every day. Every day of his life. He said even he does it when he's traveling. You know, I don't know how he does that. But last time he was on the show, and old Brian, boy, he's really into the keeping detoxified from a lot of the stuff. And you can imagine what he does. He's all raw foodie kind of guy. So he's pretty clean running machine like Ken. But he loves these saunas. If you'd like to get one, we have a $9.95 deal for the far infrared sauna. And these are very easy to take care of. You can just do some diluted hydrogen peroxide, which I do in a rag, and then wipe them down from time to time, inside and out, you know, just to keep them nice and clean. It's at a very, very nice chair. It's not some $5 camping chair. It's a very sturdy chair. And I sit in a yogic posture on it with my legs folded. That's why I like to do it on a towel. Or you can just sit there, if you can't do that, with your feet down on the floor, or on these little stirrups that they have here on top of the units. And very easy to set up. They're very quiet, low EMFs. You will get an extreme amount of heat, and also the far infrared rays. So lots of sweating goes on, lots of far infrared technology out of Taiwan, one of the best technologies that we know of on the planet. I mean, really, this is good stuff. They won about 4 or 5 different awards for this technology. And so it's not just a bunch of guys sitting around going, okay, we're just going to put some heat in there. Be careful. There is a lot of knockoffs for this far infrared sauna. They built these tents, and they look exactly like the Relax, but they're not. So be careful. People out there selling it for $600, $700, and they're just, no, they're not the same thing. They just got some heaters in there, and you don't know what they're made out of, or the EMFs, or there's no far infrared technology. These are really cool. Check it out, the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Go on our website, look at it. You can go on YouTube, look at some of the testimonials, thousands of them, and then email me, and I'll give you a deal, $9.95 delivered. $995 delivered. Tax title license, the whole Magilla Gorilla, tax title license, lower 48. If you live around the world, email me and we'll work out a good price for you. And we'll get you the plug that you need, whether you live in Australia or in the EU. Really quite a beautiful unit, $9.95 delivered. You can't get this price anywhere. And they won't even let us put this price in print. So you can only do it because you're hearing my dulcet tones here.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
All right, we're with Ken Roller. We've had a few interruptions on the internet this morning. Sorry about that. Podcast will have everything clear. This is just something going on here in the Austin area. We've had a lot of rain, and they're working on it. But be assured that if it falls off, it'll just come right back. So don't change to some rock and roll station or something like that. Are you back, Ken?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. It says, good morning, guys. Do you have any ideas why sometimes when you take a really low dose of niacin, you flush, and yet taking really high dose sometimes has little or no effect? I took 5,000 milligrams with little flush. I took 25 and had the intense flush. Have any idea what could be happening? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how recently you've eaten, for one thing. Because if you, you know, if you still are metabolizing nutrients and stuff, or if you got food in your stomach, that will help dilute it and slow the metabolization down. So there's one thing. You know, if, assuming you're taking the same niacin, that's been my experience. I can take, you know, it's like if I haven't eaten all day and then I go take certain supplements, it'll really wallop me. When if I've eaten, it doesn't. So I would guess that it's something like that.
Uh-huh. Now, do you know the names of the non? Oh, you would just buy it and just ask the person at the hippie food store or somewhere on Amazon if you want non-flushing or flushing, right?
Well, I don't even think about it in those terms. I get I use
niacinamide.
Bob Marshall's. No, I use Bob Marshall's. What is it called? Something BND or something. You know, from Premier Research Labs. They're B. They're vitamin B.
Oh, it's a vitamin.
That's what I use.
It's a vitamin B. Okay. Sure, the liquid one. Yeah.
Yeah, vitamin B, but it has niacin.
Oh, I see.
And yeah. So, that's what I use. And I use it because it's vegan and it's a high quality.
Julie wants to know if Ken has any theories on C60, as if he's used it. Is there an issue of if the C60 would be nano?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have not used it for that very reason, because I've heard good things about it. I have not had a chance to test it. And so until I do get to test it, you know, I don't want to necessarily recommend it. I don't want to say anything bad about it, because I know people
sure.
who have used it and gotten great results. So I think personally it probably is great, as long as it's made from a quality source.
Quality source.
There are natural forms of C60, which we've mentioned before, like shungite powder. That is a form of C60, and it's a natural form. It's not made in a lab or anything. But C60, for people that don't know what C60 is, that's carbon-60. And it's carbon in a molecular form where the carbon atoms combine into these little geodesic balls. And just like zeolites, they have a very strong negative charge inside the balls.
Right.
And their angstrom scale, they're so small, they can go into the body and latch onto anything with a positive charge, which happens to be free radicals and toxins and pathogens. So I've known people who have done them, and they swear by it. I just haven't tested them yet.
Yeah, I've had a real good experience with the couple that we promote, Ken. I mean, I think the Bob Greska stuff I've used for 3 or 4 months, the C-60, you know, the one in the oil, then I've used some of Wayne's too, the perfect molecule. I really like it. It feels energetically, there feels something really good about it. You know, I suspect that if it was really clobbering my DNA or something, I would know it, but, you know, who knows, you know, planet Earth.
Right.
You know, I don't
know. You know, and also regarding the idea of not putting nanotech in your body, that's, you know, very wise
sure.
from the standpoint of conventional laboratory-made nanoparticles, not necessarily C60, but nanoparticles, they've definitely been shown to cause all kinds of problems in the human body.
And what's the difference, Ken Rowland? What's the difference?
Well, it depends on what the element is that you're
and how they make these particles
into a nano.
Yeah, and how they make them smaller.
You know, yeah, because they can get, and also the quantity you're taking in, cause it's like there are a lot of trace minerals like antimony and arsenic that are necessary in the body in tiny, tiny amounts. And then you take larger doses, of course, they're very toxic. And in nano form, they can get in and do a lot of damage if you're taking too much of it. Nature creates nanotech, so you don't need to do laboratory, now not carbon-60, but, you know, these nano minerals and stuff, or just nanotech. Forget about nutrition, just, you know, the nanotech that's being made out there in the world, the threat of that stuff is that if it gets out into the environment, then it can get into all kinds of stuff. And C60 may actually be a way to get it out, because I know zeolites, like nano zeolites, are a good way to get nanoparticles out of the body. You know,
so,
but it is unnatural nanoparticles are to be concerned about. Nature makes nanoparticles all the time.
It does. Like
using
what would
photosynthesis
be an example? What would be an example of a
plant? Well, the minerals in plants, organic minerals in plants, they're nanoparticles.
Are they?
Yeah, they're monoatomic and angstrom particles of minerals, and also in ferment, same thing. You know, ferments break down into nanoparticles. Just nobody calls it that because they just call it organic or whatever.
So that's there, what it is. There must be some technology that people are concerned about. The Beaker Boys are kind of really messing with some things in a lab and nanoizing them because they think people want to buy it because they're smaller and they sell it. And some of these could be a problem with the DNA. Is that what we're hearing?
Well, in the supplement industry, people are making nano particle supplements, yes, because it can be much more absorbed, or it can go in the body and do things that it can't in a macro scale. And, you know, it's kind of like food supplements and stuff. If it's being made with integrity and it's tested and shown to be non-toxic, it might be beneficial. But, it's like most supplements. Forget about nano. Most supplements now are made by the drug companies. You know, the drug companies have bought up about 80% of the supplement companies, and so there's a lot of toxic supplements on the market. So it depends on the intention of the manufacturer and the quality that they produce it with. In general, I don't find a need to take many nano supplements per se. I do know that the nanozeolites have been proven to be non-toxic and extremely effective at pulling heavy metals and toxins and even, pathogens out of the body. And they're very effective with autism and things like that because they can get into the brain and pull metals out.
Is that nano by God?
That's my
body. Is that those neozeolites? Are they're nanoized by God or by in the lab?
No, by humans. But the way they do it is different than, say, nanoparticles used in engineering.
Okay.
They use vitamin C. They take azomite rock powder, which is, when lava hits water, it shocks it and it creates these little microscopic cage structures. They grind it up into a powder, and normally in the past, that powder was what people would ingest. But it would only pull toxins out of the gut and the GI tract. It wouldn't go into other parts of the body. But with these nanoparticles, they use vitamin C to dissolve the blocks of particles into individual geodesic balls.
Yeah.
And they're so small they can permeate, they can go through the cell membrane, so they can get anywhere that water can go in the body and latch onto toxins and free radicals and pathogens. Mm. And then once they lock into it, they've got a strong negative charge. These pathogens or toxins have strong plus charge. And so the pathogen or toxin gets pulled into the cage structure, then it neutralizes the charge and it can't come out, and then it gets flushed out of the body. So that's how they work. And that's how C60 works.
Yeah, I think what happened was when the nano thing hit, there were a few people out there who were just running around kind of like with their hair on fire because they knew there was an issue with some of this. And then folks got to the point where they're thinking anything that's nano thing is dangerous, going to hurt you. And as you just explained, that's not necessarily true.
I would say probably in most cases it is.
I
think in
most
cases
of the people out there are doing some weird things with it. You just have to know the source and know the people that you're working with. Ken Rolla, Patrick Timpone, September 17th. Sandy says, I was interested in hearing more about the SCAR protocol with iodine and castor oil, amounts to use, and how long to use the gua sha tool scraping the scar area. How did you come through the hurricane? Did the whole home shield help? Also, do the powers that be know when someone has a home shield? Do you get put on a list?
Well, I came through the hurricane great because I'm in France and Spain, but it didn't come anywhere near my house in Florida, so I'm fine. My family lives up in North Carolina, and I haven't had a chance to talk to them, but they're pretty far inland, so I think they'll be fine. The powers that be, we've sold hundreds of these things. We've never had anybody bothered. So because they're low power and they pulse at the same frequency as the Earth, that seems to mask them. So no one's ever had any problems, no black helicopters or anything like that.
Ken's talking about is a product called the Home Shield. Let's give it a little plug. It's right on the front page of One Radio Network. Called Scalar Energy Home Shield, whole house yard protection. Talk a little bit about what you know that this thing can help people if they put one in their yard.
Okay. Well, first of all, I can't tell everything that it does because okay. I would get in trouble if I did.
Right.
So I'll say that. But when the Fukushima nuclear disaster occurred, I was concerned about what was headed our way. And so I did a little research and then wound up developing this device. And so it has a lot of different interesting effects. One of the primary effects that we show on our website is that it's like a giant rest shield. It puts out a scatter field over a large area, actually about 75-mile radius. And so it has effects for about 75 miles around. Locally, in about a 100-yard radius, it will protect against EMF, and it will help with sleep. So you put it outside your house. It's solar-powered. It runs on a battery and a solar panel that keeps the battery charged. And it puts out a scatter field that pulses at the original Schumann resonance of 7.83 hertz, which slows brainwave states down. It de-stresses living organisms, not just people, but animals, plants, microbes. And so what you'll notice in your yard is that plants grow faster, molds and blights tend to go away. We've also noticed in Florida that mosquitoes and no-see-ums and biting insects are also radically reduced with it. For a pretty large area, about at least 30-mile radius, I know, because when I originally put one out, the very first one out, and I was experimenting with it, and some of my friends that were in another town knew about it, and they would call me and tell me that they could tell when it was off because they would see the mosquito population would increase within a few hours around their house. So it has some interesting effects like that. Of course, it can structure water, but it's not really designed for that. It's really designed for like covering your whole yard and your house for sleep and EMF protection. There are a lot of other benefits, but those are the main ones.
Those are the ones you can talk about.
Those are the ones. Maybe those aren't the main ones. Those are the ones I can talk about.
Those are the ones you can talk about. Okay.
The main function I can't talk about.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to do that. Kind of like, yeah. So it's got a little solar thing, so that's cool. And And so it just sits outside in your yard.
Yeah, it just sits out. You put it about 20, 30 feet outside of your bedrooms, so it can, you know, cover your bedrooms well. And, and it just runs 24/7. It lasts for years and years. I've got one sitting out in my yard that's been running since 2012. The main thing is to keep it out of direct sun in the summertime because the summer heat can cook the circuitry. So it comes with a shade screen that you put over it to keep it from getting too hot. And, it just runs 24/7.
That's cool. That's cool.
People notice it when they come to our house. The lady also asked about castor oil and the gua sha tools. So for folks that haven't heard me talk about this, what I was recommending is to get rid of scars on the body to clear the meridians so that it improves health. And sometimes it can improve health significantly, especially even like, you know, my body. I don't have any huge scars, but I have a whole lot of little ones all over. And it can be a combination of little ones or it can be, you know, a big one or two. But they interfere with the acupuncture meridians, and that can have significant impacts on health. So you take castor oil, organic castor oil, particularly Phil Thomas is, you know, we'll give him a plug because he's got a really good castor oil. I believe his website is theiodinesource.com.
We have a link on our website called Iodine Source, and you can see a picture of Edgar Casey right on our website.
Source.
Yeah, click right there.
I think iodinesource.com. He's got a good castor oil. And castor oil is a plant oil. It's healing as well as it will absorb into skin and tissue and deliver other nutrients deep into the tissue. So you take castor oil and you rub it over whatever area you want to remove the scar on, and then you dab iodine liberally onto it, and then you massage it very strongly with gua sha tools. And gua sha tools are just kind of like massage tools that have kind of a sharp but kind of a dull edge, so it doesn't hurt, but it can really dig in and break up the scar tissue. And you just dig in there and break up that scar tissue. And you do that every day as long as you need to until the scar is gone. Usually in a couple of weeks, it'll be gone, you know, if it's not a gigantic scar.
Hmm. And so something like a cesarean section, something like ladies would want to do, right?
Right, yeah. Or like I had a big scar on my leg from when I was a kid. You know, I bumped into a pipe and gashed my leg, and so I got rid of it using the iodine and castor oil. I had skateboarding scars, you know, on my hands, got rid of them that way.
You didn't fall over, did you?
Oh, man, I fell over so many times. Are you kidding me? I used to, when I was a, you know me, I mean, I take things to extremes. So when I was a kid and I would skateboard, this is when skateboarding was new, and urethane wheels had just come out. So we went from old, you know, ceramic wheels and steel wheels that you couldn't really skate on to these wonderful urethane wheels that you could really have a good time on. But just skating down a hill wasn't good enough for us. So we would get a moped and we would tow each other like we were skiing, and and get up to like 35 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour on a skateboard. And then if you crash, you really crash and burn pretty good. Mm-hmm. So one time I was whipping around a curve next to a chain link fence with the jagged tops on it, and I scraped across the jagged top and sliced my hand open pretty good. Larry, yeah, I was always doing stuff like that. We,